Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chittletau from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, coming to you from Berlin and the 2019 European Compliance and Ethics Institute. Joining me today is Charles Vernon. Charles has a law firm in Bucharest, Romania.
And Chișinău, Moldova.
Is there a softball game between the two?
That's right. Old historical ties. Yes.
Okay, great. So thank you, for joining us. And we're here, not surprisingly, to talk about what's going on from a compliance perspective in Romania and Moldova these days. So first, can you give us the land of sort of overall what's the situation there?
Okay. First is, I think people forget that Romania actually is part of the European Union. We're one of the last of the countries to get in. So when I talk about Romania, let me put this in perspective of sort of our European neighbors. Moldova is not within the European Union. It's actually part of the CIS, which is the old Russian Soviet Empire that collapsed. And so it's a old Soviet Republic. And so these places are vastly different as you could imagine. But Romania is, to give you some perspective, Romania is the second largest country in Eastern Europe. Bucharest, where I live, is the largest city in Eastern Europe, with about 3.5 million people. It's one of the big economic powerhouses in the region. Most people that have international operations are very likely to have activities in Romania. So it's a big, active country. Currently, actually, the last few years have actually been pretty good for Romania. The government in 2016 did a big stimulus package. It boosted the GDP by 7% in 2017. Wow. In 2018, growth was about 4%, still pretty spectacular. However, inflation had been kicking up to about 4% as well, which was not a positive. The European listeners will appreciate this. The stimulus was done through the increase of social payments, increase of pensions and salaries for government employees. That led to massive consumption. So on that side of the book, the retailers are doing great. They're making some money. Some of the other aspects are probably not doing as well as we'd like. But in a nutshell, Romania's been having a pretty good couple of years.
Good. Now, what's it like from a compliance perspective? I mean, a lot of Eastern European countries have had greater corruption issues than their Western neighbors. And certainly a lot of the former Soviet states have had their share of problems and still do. What's the challenge like there?
Well, certainly Romania is on the, I would say, the higher risk category of corruption. Us in Bulgaria, I think, are probably viewed as the two highest risk countries in the European Union. Romania has been, and by the way, let me just interrupt. We had a great speaker with the OECD guy who was doing the anti-bribery stuff,
Drago Mr. Kos.
And he was really interesting. You know, in these meetings, being from Romania, I'm always dreading that Romania is going to come up as an example. And of course, without fail, he definitely mentioned Romania in his speech, and not in a positive way, unfortunately. Romania had been pretty active in the anti-corruption thing. And in fact, one of the aspects of Romania is, with Bulgaria, is that when they got into the European Union, they're under what they call the cooperation verification mechanism. That's a monitoring system. And it's particularly aimed at judicial reform and corruption specifically. And they give a report every year. They give recommendations. Bulgaria last fall got a pretty good report. They've made a lot of progress. They had kind of 6 or 7 things to do. They finished half of them. Romania, however, has gone backwards significantly. Not only did we go backwards in our fight against corruption, the monitoring program added 8 additional steps to us, which was not positive. Kos, of course, mentioned states and used them as examples of states going backwards using a variety of means, which is attack on prosecutors, using the constitutional court to basically overturn criminal convictions. That's exactly what's going on in Romania. And in fact, they're really attempting to overturn many of the major corruption cases based on very technical constitutional arguments. Most of people like us who do this for a living think are completely ridiculous, but there is an attempt to do that. And Romania is kind of going backwards. It's been, the legislation has also been, they're attempting to change the legislation to essentially decriminalize corruption in Romania. And so that's a negative. The positive aspect, however, is that the Romanian society itself is very upset by this. And in fact, we've had over the last couple of years, massive protests against the corruption, against the changing of the laws, and against the sort of view that the country is going in the wrong direction. To give you an idea of what I'm talking about, there was one protest that was, I would estimate maybe 15% of the adult population was on the streets. So the 3.5 million people in Bucharest, there were a good, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 protesters on the street. It was quite impressive. And so there is pushback on this, but unfortunately the current government is, needs to have a lot more progress. They need to really refocus their efforts.
Yeah, I remember the coverage of those protests and just how utterly massive they were. And I think, by the way, from what you've said already, one key takeaway for anyone listening is that if you've got a risk assessment in place that includes Romania, you probably need to go revisit it and realize your risk levels increased substantially over the last couple of years.
We would absolutely. You're dead right. Romania is a high-risk country. If you have operations there, you really need to make sure your processes and policies are in place, are robust, that you're being active about it. You need to keep Romania's, you know, an eye on our part of the world, unfortunately.
So along those lines, what should organizations be doing? I mean, there's sort of the macro, what everyone would do in an area with corruption, which is you want tighter controls, close vetting of your third parties. Are there any things in particular that are sort of Romania idiosyncratic that from a compliance perspective you should be watching out for?
Well, we have a lot of issues with the government, but everybody knows this. I mean, you know, most compliance programs take special care when it comes to governmental contracts and so forth. Romania is no exception, so that's pretty standard. One of the things that we see in Romania particularly, which we find kind of interesting, considering it's a high-risk country, we find that a lot of people do not take supplier review and due diligence very seriously. And we find that certain aspects of compliance programs that we would think were very important, in our investigations, we find that that suppliers are probably the biggest problem we find, both through funneling money, through theft by senior management, through funneling money through corrupt purposes. The suppliers and who owns them and who's controlling them usually are at the center of most of our investigations. And so, but the vast majority of people that we know don't really have robust systems to really check due diligence. We had one case where there were a series of companies that were held, and if they had just searched on the trade registry, they would have found that your senior management actually owned these companies. I mean, there was no diligence done. So we would say, look, if you could do one thing in Romania, we would suggest you look hard at the suppliers. That's a big case.
So make sure you understand who the beneficial owner is, make sure what their ties are to the government, sort of the essential stuff that you might do in an area where you sort of people are more likely to expect high levels of corruption, not realizing, in fact, that they are in one. What about other legal risk areas?
One other thing about suppliers.
Yeah, sure.
Not just to check the beneficial owners, but you also have to make sure there's a process like bids. I mean, you'd be surprised at how often these are sole source contracts. They'll do 25, 30, 40,000 in hats, T-shirts. I mean, there are, you know, you also have to just make sure you actually have a process in place where when you're looking at suppliers for anything that's a significant amount, whatever that level might be for you, that you make sure that there's actually a couple more bidders as well. I mean, that's one of the problems.
Hmm. What about, there's been a lot of talk at this meeting, obviously, about GDPR.
Yes.
As an issue. Has Romania moved along in that process? Are there other privacy restrictions that people need to be thinking about? And then are there other legal areas of compliance that people should be aware of?
Well, I would, being part of the European Union, we, like everybody else in the Union, entered the GDPR era back in May. I would say Romania did it more as a whimper than a bang. There was not a lot of guidance. The legislation was limited, to say the least. They were massively understaffed. I think at the time last spring, there were around 30 or so employees to be doing this. That included the drivers, the support staff. I think that's getting better now, but they are certainly understaffed. Like I said, guidance is lacking. So there are some ways to go in Romania, but all the applicable rules of the EU are in Romania. We have the same requirements as you would have in Germany or France or Britain to a certain, to a large extent. We look actually to those countries for guidance. So when we have questions, we tend to look, particularly the British tend to be very good about these sort of things. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of detailed guidance. But Romania hasn't been, there's been no big major fines or our cases yet. What we've seen from the point of view of GDPR is healthcare. They have been starting some investigations and some investigating some complaints in the healthcare area. So the healthcare areas are, but I think that might be common in quite a few other places. It's viewed as a very particularly sensitive area. So we're pretty much fairly standard. We're probably a little more quiet on that front than others. In the other areas of compliance in Romania, as I said, Romania seems to be taking more of a step back than forward. What we're more worried about now is the loosening of a lot of these various rules, privacy, the making it more difficult to bring cases if you actually have an issue. This consumer protection people aren't giving really authorities to push certain agendas. So in that way, we have just a general environment that is not taking these issues as seriously as we would like. They're getting a lot of criticism for it. The EU monitoring system that I mentioned earlier, the CVM, was a blistering report against Romania. And I said, you know, they have all these additional steps they have to take. So we're more concerned about maintaining things. I wish I was saying that we've have these great new initiatives. Actually, we're not doing as well as I would like, and certainly not as well as we've been doing. Having said that, let me give you some perspective about what we mean by cases in Romania. In 2017, we had approximately 700 convictions for corruption in Romania. Okay, the authorities went after them, had convictions. In 2018, it was around 500. So there has been historically a real effort to go after. There were thousands of investigations for corruption where we had ministers, cabinet-level officials, judges, dozens of high-level officials had been convicted for these crimes. So what we meant by Romania was really seeing progress is they were really very active, and now we kind of see that lessening, and that's why there's a concern.
Yeah, lessening and people getting released, I would imagine, because of all these technicalities. So it's an interesting and troubling picture you paint, and I imagine one of the challenges for companies is your local employees would be saying, well, you know what, we don't have to worry anymore because they're not going to prosecute. But the reality is, with so many multilateral prosecutions, the extraterritoriality of the FCPA and the UK Bribery Act, it's really important to make sure your employees locally understand, despite the changes here, sort of, or the retreat here, the rest of the world isn't and may come back and bite us.
Companies should take heart is that the younger generation, I think, gets it more. So that some of the younger workers are coming into the workforce, the millennials, I think it's easier to communicate with them the idea that, in fact, the draw of a lot of international companies is this very reason. There's a feeling that if I go work for a big international, they have environments where if I work hard, play by the rules, do well, that I can progress, I can have, you know, so there is a feeling that going that direction is positive. So in a way, a lot of the multinationals have a bit of an advantage because people come to them with the idea, if I work hard for you, I can be honest, I don't have to do some of these things that I don't like very much, I understand the message, we'd like to change things. I mean, it is those people that are the 300,000 people out on the street. So in that way, there is sort of some progress being made. I think the next generation is certainly more favorable to this than the older guys.
And certainly a lot of hope for the future there. Well, Charles, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.